You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 116th episode of Take a Bow. I'm your host, Eli Tokash, and this week we have such an incredible episode coming at you folks today. We have a very special guest that the Into the Woods fans are going to love, and honestly, all theater fans are going to love this episode because we are fangirling. We are talking about how much we love Sarah Bareilles. We are talking about all the things. We also talk about some AAPI representation on Broadway and all the things. So very excited to bring on Kennedy Kanagawa from Into the Woods, currently making his Broadway debut in the show. How cool is that? Making your Broadway debut in such an iconic show with all of these all-star performers. It's amazing. So excited for him, and he talks all about it. So I'm just so excited to share this with you all. He literally talks about the whole journey that Into the Woods has had over the past year, whether it's from City Center, then transferring to Broadway. Just fascinating stuff. And I'm so glad to hear that he's going to be staying with the show because they did announce a new cast, which I guess we can just talk about. Let's turn into some Broadway news, shall we? Yes, you just heard me say that Into the Woods brought in some new cast members. Well, they have not started yet. They start on September 6th. The current cast, not everybody is leaving, but Into the Woods was announced as a limited run, obviously because these all-stars are booked and busy, so they could not do a full open contract or six-month contract on Broadway. So they brought in some new stars to do the show, and they did not disappoint because, yes, currently they have incredible performers such as Sarah Bareilles and Brian D'Arcy James and Philippa Sue and Julia Lester. Unfortunately, all of them are leaving the show on September 4th, and they're bringing in Stephanie J. Block to play the Baker's Wife, which is currently being played by Sarah Bareilles. They're bringing in Sebastian Arcellus, who's going to be playing the Baker, which is currently played by Brian D'Arcy James. And I'm so excited about this because, fun fact, Stephanie J. Block and Sebastian are actually real life husband and wife. So very excited for them to be able to play that on a Broadway stage at the St. James Theater. Very cool. They also are bringing in Krista Rodriguez to play Cinderella, who's currently being played by Philippa Sue. And they brought in some other incredible people. They also announced that Montego Glover will be sharing the role of the witch with Patina Miller. So for those of you who are Patina Miller stans, I empathize with you. She is not leaving, though, which is amazing because Patina was so good in this role. She's not leaving. Montego Glover and her will be doing four shows a week each. Montego Glover will be playing Tuesday through Thursday. So she'll do Tuesday and then both shows Wednesday and then Thursday. And then Patina Miller will be playing the Friday, both shows Saturday and Sunday show. So very excited for that. It's going to be so cool. And it's kind of like, oh, who's going to be in this week? You get like a little fun surprise each time you go. It's very exciting. And they also announced that they're bringing in Andy Carl to play the role of the wolf in Cinderella's Prince from September 6th through September 15th, which is like, I don't know, but like, I'm so excited about this. I feel like Andy Carl playing the wolf is kind of like something I didn't know that I needed. And so, yeah, just very excited about that. And definitely we'll be seeing the show again with this new cast. I'm so excited for it. So congratulations to everyone who was announced that they will be going into the woods because, I mean, this show is just literally the hottest show on Broadway right now. And it's just an amazing show to be a part of. Moving on, I usually like to start out with this, but I kind of already announced that the Into the Woods cast was announced, so I wanted to get to that. Before I go any further, I do want to say congratulations and happy trails to everyone involved in Tina, the Tina Turner musical, which I mentioned last week, but there's also another show that closed just this past Sunday on August 14th, and that's the cast and company of POTUS. So congratulations to everyone involved in both of those productions. Everyone knows I love POTUS, so I can't believe I didn't mention them last week. I had a whole episode about them and was at their opening night red carpet event and put that as a podcast. I don't know how I didn't realize that last week, but I just wanted to make sure that I said it this week because I loved that show and I thought it could be kind of like an Into the Woods. Like, I think it could be successful without those stars, because obviously I know they couldn't keep all of their stars, so they didn't want to continue it, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, very upset about it because I love the show and thought it was hilarious. So wanted to mention that. Anyways, moving on. There was also a major cast announcement coming from the show 1776, which is something that we haven't really talked about, but it's something that is going to be very exciting because, you know, we haven't talked about it because there hasn't been much to talk about. So now they have their cast, and I just want to congratulate some Take a Bow family members. Well, one's a family member. One's like an honorary family member. Congratulations to Carolee Carmello, who's going to be playing the role of John Dickinson in 1776. And of course, Joanna Gluschak, who played the role of Madame du Maurier in the Finding Neverland tour, which is obviously the role that Carolee Carmello played on Broadway. So congratulations to Joanna Gluschak, who will be playing the role of Stephen Hopkins in 1776. And congratulations to literally everyone who is involved in this company, because I know it's going to be amazing show. I love what they're doing with the all-female and non-binary cast. It's so wonderful to see this type of representation, and for them to be playing like male roles, it's kind of cool. It's kind of like a spin, and because, you know, theater back in the day, the men were playing the women, so it's funny how things, you know, come back around. History kind of repeats itself in a way. But I'm very excited for this, and I know that this production is going to be something very special and something that we'll want to really keep an eye out on and go see. So that's coming to Broadway September 16th, which is pretty much a month away. So get your tickets now. It's going to be at the American Airlines Theater. Very exciting stuff. September 16th through January 8th. It is a limited run, but it's going to be amazing and definitely worth checking out. I also wanted to congratulate another Take a Bow family member, Luke Islam, who you can currently see in Netflix's 13 the Musical. Very excited. I have not seen it yet, unfortunately. I know it came out Friday, so I've had almost a week to see it, but I haven't gotten to it yet, and I'm so excited to see it because he is such a talent, and I also love 13, and I love the movie musicals. I like to see the representation and all that thing, so you know how I feel about that, but very exciting stuff. Go check out 13 the Musical on Netflix, and be sure to give Luke Islam some love because he deserves it, you know. Anyways, so that's all the Broadway news I have for you folks this week. There hasn't been a bunch of breaking news. That Into the Woods cast was really major, but otherwise there hasn't been too much. But I will say, although there hasn't been a ton of breaking news, there's been a lot of rumors going on in the Broadway industry this week. And I want to share them with you folks, but I don't know how credible they are. And I don't want to ruin it, but some of these are too good. What I will say is that Jonathan Groff could be coming back to Broadway sooner than we all think. He could be on his way back to Broadway very soon in the near future, which I'm so excited for because I'm a big Jonathan Groff fan, and it's going to be in a show that we all know and love, and it's going to be with a couple other major stars. So I am very excited about that. And I will say, because we had a Strange Loop episode last week, so it's kind of relevant, I've been hearing a lot of rumors that it's going to be closing very soon because their box office numbers aren't doing well. And now that isn't really a rumor. You can kind of look at so Broadway posts their grosses each week to Broadway World, and like it's just public knowledge. So you can actually go track and see how well shows are doing. And usually the shows that aren't doing well in ticket sales are the ones that close. So it's not a long shot in saying that, and a lot of people could know that by looking at their grosses. But I will say that it's kind of mind-boggling for a show that won the best musical this year to not be, you know, doing well for at the box office, because usually the Tony Awards really shoots the box office sales and kind of makes everyone want to go see it. But it seems like that hasn't been the case for A Strange Loop. And unfortunately, that's really sad to see, especially after talking to L. Morgan Lee last week on the podcast, which was a wonderful conversation that we had. So I just wanted to share that with you. There's a lot more that is being said, but I don't know. I don't know how true any of it is, so I don't want to talk about it. But I will say that I will keep you all posted the second I hear that, like, it's actually true or that it's already broken, because I don't know. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. Anyways, moving on, because there wasn't a lot of breaking news on Broadway, we're going to talk about some Drama Dictionary. We're going to bring back the segment. Yeah, we're not going to do it every week because unfortunately we're running out of words, people, but I will bring it back like once a month or on the off weeks that, you know, there hasn't just been a lot of breaking news on Broadway. So for this week's Drama Dictionary word of the week, we will be talking about drumroll. I love the drumroll. We're talking about button. Okay. And this is not a button on the shirt, because frankly, for those of you who don't know, on Broadway, there are no buttons on a shirt. Yes, you can see it on the outside, so it looks like on stage it is a button, but actually those are fake buttons and they don't button to anything. They're kind of just there for decoration. All of the shirts and everything on Broadway are Velcro, and that includes zippers. Zippers are usually Velcro too, and that's because of the quick changes and everything. So we're not talking about buttons. Buttons are not a thing in the industry. We're not talking about closed buttons. We're talking about a button, which is the final part of a song or a scene where, you know, you have this big buildup and all these things are going on. And then all of a sudden, it's like a boom, and that's like the final note or like whatever. So like in Hadestown, because I saw Hadestown this week, y'all, I loved Hadestown, but I already gave y'all a review, so I don't need to review it again. I did see T. Oliver Reed in as Hermes, and I loved it. Anyways, I'm being a Broadway geek now. So in Hadestown, it's like the... That's the button. That final... There's like a little buildup. And then, bam, like the final thing. So that's what the button is. It usually ends with like a little spotlight on one person or two people or the cast, you know, all the things. And that's usually the time to like applaud. The button's the time to applaud, for those of you who don't know. But that's what a button is. A closed button is not a thing in the industry. You know, I don't know why, but no, I do know why. It's because of the quick changes. But button... No. Anyways, buttons are not a thing. That's really what a button is when we talk about a button in Broadway, in the Broadway industry. So that's all I have for you folks this week. I know this was all over the place and long-winded, but I had a blast doing this. So without further ado, I'm just going to turn it over to Kennedy Kanagawa. Kennedy Kanagawa, curtain up. Okay, folks, this week we have yet another special guest making their Broadway debut in arguably the most popular show on Broadway right now. Currently playing Milky White in Into the Woods, everyone welcome to take a bow, Kennedy Kanagawa.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Oh my goodness, I'm so excited. I just told you this, but everyone knows that I kind of saw Into the Woods a couple weeks ago now. I think it was like 2 weeks ago, and absolutely loved the show, loved your performance. And especially like, I feel like as a performer, I really watched you because your performance was something that no one else on the stage was doing, because you were performing, you were being a puppeteer, kind of, you're doing all the things. So I was like blown away with your performance. I gave you a special shout out when I gave my little review and everything. So I'm so excited that you're here with me today.
So nice of you to say thank you.
Oh my goodness. No, literally, like your performance is like, as a performer, it's I guess as a performer in the audience, you recognize things that regular audience members may not necessarily notice, kind of like the work that goes into it. So we'll get into all of that. But the way I usually like to start my episodes is asking, you know, everyone who comes on here, what inspired you to want to tell stories and want to get into theater and musical theater?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think musical theater was kind of always there for me. My parents were big fans of it. And, you know, I did my third grade musical and had an absolute blast. And there's something about the medium of live performance and storytelling that I think resonates with audiences in a really special and unique way. And so the way you can convey messages and tell stories and affect change is, I think, really special with theater.
For sure. So you started at a young age of third grade. Is that right?
Yeah. I was in How the Armadillo Came to Be.
Period. Wow. You know, casual. Yeah. I love that. The casual stage debut playing Armadillo number 4. that's so awesome. But I want to ask you, because I saw on your resume, I mean, you are making your Broadway debut, but you're a veteran of the industry. You've been in several shows around New York and regional places. It's incredible. But I noticed that this actually isn't your first stint with the show Into the Woods. You played Jack in another production, right?
I did, yeah. I think that was 2017. I was in the National Asian Artists Project, or NAP, that Byorg Lee founded with Stephen Ang. They did a concert version of Into the Woods with an all Asian cast. Mm-hmm. So that was so much fun. And I played Jack in it, and Ann Harada played the witch. So
no way.
Yeah. So it was fun. We had worked together. She was actually played my mom in my very first professional gig, but it was fun reuniting with her on that project. And then again, at Encores.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And then she's coming back to Broadway with you guys.
I know.
That's amazing.
I'm so excited.
Oh my God. So wait, do you understudy Jack right now?
I don't know. We have an amazing fleet of 9 incredible understudies, but there aren't any internal covers in the piece.
Got it. Okay, makes sense. But thought I'd ask, because I was like, oh my God, you would be perfect for it. When I saw it on your resume, I was like, duh, he played Jack. Of course he played Jack. Well, I'm curious because, like, I don't know. I was on Broadway when I was like 13 and now I'm 19. So I have always dreamed about, you know, kind of revisiting shows now that I'm older and kind of understand a little bit more. So I'm curious, like, I know it was just like 4 or 5 years ago that you visited Into the Woods, but like, what is it about this production that has really resonated with you that you didn't necessarily have that resonance when you did it the first time in 2017?
Well, so Into the Woods is, like, I'm not even making this up, my favorite musical of like all time. So
of course.
I'm like such a nerd about, I've just been geeking out over this show like my whole life. So being able to make that my Broadway debut has been so incredibly special.
Yeah.
And there's something so magical about this production in particular. And I think it has a lot to do with the people that were assembled to make this, like,
stars,
all stars. Everyone is so mind-blowingly talented, and they're people that, you know, I've looked up to my entire life. And getting to work with them, like, I keep telling everyone, what's even more, I mean, because you expect them to be talented. Yeah, obviously they're incredibly talented, but you don't know if they're going to be nice or not. And everyone is so nice. It's the most special thing to get to be a part of an experience.
Yeah, that's incredible. I was thinking about that. I was like, this is like a dream Broadway debut for someone, you know, like with this show, a Sondheim show, you know, Into the Woods. Everybody knows what Into the Woods is. This cast is just ridiculous. And then the people that they're bringing in to replace this cat, like, it's just incredible. And it keeps extending. And then you had the City Center. Like, it's just such a wonderful little journey that you all have shared and have gone on through this whole process.
I completely agree. It's so special, and I'm waking up every morning pinching myself because it feels so surreal.
Well, talk to me, because when you auditioned for the City Center version of the show, did you, like, was there ever, I guess, foresight of, like, or a tease of, like, oh, this could go to Broadway? Or was it always just, like, you know, you were auditioning for that production?
So, funny story, and is also kind of part of why this whole thing is so surreal, is that I didn't audition.
What?
So the puppet designer, James Ortiz, is a good friend who I had collaborated with in the past on some developmental works. And while he was, you know, Lyre de Bessenay was asking for his recommendations on someone to puppeteer for Milky White. And, you know, she had, you know, the stipulations, you know, they really wanted to make sure that it wasn't just a puppeteer, but someone that could sing and do all those things. And so he literally messaged me on Instagram and was like, what do you, this was in, I think, March. And he was like, hey, are you free in May? And I was like, I think so, yeah. And he was like, cool. I think I'm going to recommend you for this thing. And I was like, okay. And then he told me what it was. And I was like, wow, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I didn't think anything of it. And then, like, I think a couple weeks later, my agent just received the offer. So it was such a bizarre turn of events. So, yeah, grateful to him for life.
Yes. That's amazing. What a story. So, so then, of course, when you got to City Center, you know, you're doing this stage reading and you guys were only supposed to do it for a short amount of time. And then it extended at City Center, right? And then it was like, we're going to Broadway?
So City Center was only ever going to be the 2 weeks.
Got it.
Because that's just the nature of encores. They like mount something like Fast and Furious reading, except, you know, encores is kind of morphed into this like, but is it a reading? Because you can't hold book, but no one holds book. And so that it was 10 performances over 2 weeks, and Monday was our dark day in between weeks. And so that was the day that we found out that we were transferring. And I was, my agent just forwarded me the email from the producers, and I was home and I was so confused. I didn't understand what it was. My brain flatlined.
Right.
I was like, Jujamson, why do I know that? What is that?
Oh my God.
And I like kept reading and I was like, oh, St. James. Oh, like, there's a Broadway theater called the St. James. And I still wasn't connecting the dots. And then I Googled, I'm like, am I gaslighting myself? Like, what does this mean? Because it's not like come to Broadway. It's all the like technicalities. And so
exactly.
But
Yeah. So once I realized what the email was, I ran into the other room where my boyfriend was, and I was like shaking and shouting, and he started like shouting, and he hugged me, and we were jumping up and down. And then because I am neurotic, I like was so overwhelmed that I just like pushed him away, and I started like dry heaving because I was nervous. So he was stop like, yay, up. Oh, do you want some water? I don't know if I'm going to throw up or I'm going to cry or I'm going to laugh. So that was a really special moment. And here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Now, well, I want to ask you two questions about two other special moments. You know, taking that first bow at New York City Center. I mean, that theater is just unbelievable. And then taking your first Broadway bow, which is like even like crazier.
Yeah.
when there are words, you know, like it's crazy.
Maybe not. Like,
yeah.
I think the bow, once we got to the end of the show and bowed, I was in it. But when the curtain goes up at the beginning of the show and the audience is so responsive and we're holding for the applause, and yes, Lear did this beautiful job of giving us permission to just like look out at the audience and take in the audience's response and really kind of connect that with them on an intimate level is so special. And both the St. James and City Center are huge houses. Mm. So the curtain going up and seeing all of those people was so incredible and terrifying and exciting, like all of the feelings.
Yes, definitely. And
I'm actually really grateful that we were able to just kind of have that moment at the top of show while they're applauding to kind of mentally recalibrate and be like, all right, this is happening. This is where we are, taking this moment, and let's get ready to do a show.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, everything about it. It's just like the whole, it's awesome. Literally, it's like chills just thinking about it, you know. Anyways, I want to talk to you about, you know, Milky White and your rehearsal process with this, because like I mentioned, this is just, it's crazy. I mean, it's truly like what you do on a nightly basis is absolutely bonkers, because like you're a performer up there. Yes, because you're a performer up there, but you know, you really don't have a scene partner, because the other performers, their scene partner is the prop. So right, you kind of just have to watch them interact with like someone that's not you, but like that's the character you're playing. So like, what is that like? Did that take some time to get used to?
Oh, totally. It was so, there are so many interesting and complicated layers to that dynamic that I needed to adjust to, because, you know, James Ortiz was instrumental in kind of figuring out how this puppet was going to operate on stage.
Right.
So he and Lear didn't want and like one of those like all black ninja incognito, but I'm clearly still here situations. They wanted to be like, no, it's a puppet with a puppeteer, and we're going to acknowledge that. And I think that extends to a lot of the creative design of the show, of like the orchestra's on stage,
yes,
set is going to be super minimal, and it's just, we're going to acknowledge that this is a play and we're putting it on and like let it speak for itself. Mm-hmm. But in order to make sure that the audiences and the other actors on stage maintain focus on the cow and not the person operating the cow, I was instructed to maintain my gaze on the puppet the entire time, so that if people are looking at me, my lack of eye contact is going to help direct them to where they should be looking.
Right.
But that's actually really complicated, because I am not able to look up on stage. So right, it took a while for me to get the hang of knowing where I'm supposed to be without looking, basically, or only using my peripheral vision. But it was really fun figuring out, and the way that James, like, he brought me the puppet. He was like, all right, this is the puppet. This is the thing. And it's, you know, it's super simple. It's got a handle on the head and it's got a handle on the butt. You can wiggle it around and there's a lever if you want to open the mouth. And those are the only mechanics to the puppet. So from there, it's like, how do we utilize these two super basic tools to create a movement vocabulary for the puppet to see what the puppet is able to do and then bring it to life from there.
Sure. It's fascinating how it works, and watching you up there is fascinating. Like, did that take a lot of time to really, like, you know, really understand the mechanics to, like, see how it walks and see how it lays down, plays dead, all the things?
Yeah. Well, I feel like a lot of time is relative because we had, like, 10 days of rehearsal before we opened the encores. But basically every spare moment we had was Lear gave us great permission to kind of just go off on our own in another studio or in the corner of the room and be like, okay, what are we doing? What does this moment look like? And also a lot of it was just kind of like doing something and see if it makes sense. And it was really funny the way that Lear and Lauren Lataro, the choreographer, would be like, all right, everyone on stage, in the opening, during this lyric, everyone's going to go step, step, chasse, 3-point turn. And no acknowledgement to the fact that there is a 4-legged cow doing that. So, like, and James would be like sitting at the table, and I'd like kind of like make eye contact with him, and we'd both be like, we'll figure it out. So then we'd run it, and I would just do something. And then we'd like look at each other, and he'd either like give me a thumbs up, or on our break, he'd come over and be like, okay, so maybe like with the chasse, if we like do this with the legs or swing them out more, and then we'd go from there. So it was a lot of trial and error to figure out what made sense.
Yeah, that's so fascinating. Just because, like, you know, you have this cast, like, you're sure not used to you having a play animal on the stage and someone literally like puppeteering it. I don't know what the word is, but yeah, it's crazy the way that, like, the whole, I feel like everything kind of changes once you add that to the mix, because, like, you know, you hold a prop, you hold a shoe, like it is in the show, like, even that throws things off, and there's just like, you can only do certain things, but you have a whole freaking animal that you are directing, and it's literally like, it's fascinating. I love just watching you in the show just trying to, like, just like figuring it out and just navigating it. It's so cool.
Thank you.
There's like, so literally, many, like, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, in terms of like figuring out the cow, I'm thinking about her udder, which is, you know, attached by a couple of different strings so that it's super pendulous, we might say, which is makes sense for the cow in terms of like the state of a cow literally on the verge of death. But then when we were figuring out moments when she should sit or lie down, how the udder gets in the way. So we had to kind of craft this motion of, okay, as she's lying down, you got to kind of swing the udder so that it like goes to the right or the left, and then she can lay down flat on it. And so her like butt isn't in the air and the teats aren't like a tripod, like keeping her upright.
Right. Oh my God, it's literally like a show within the show. Like, that your character is totally the show within the show. It's amazing. Anyways, I guess we can move on a little bit, because I don't know, I just find it fascinating. I want to talk to you about the timing with Into the Woods. You know, obviously it's a Stephen Sondheim show, and you guys kind of brought this to City Center pretty like close after his death, like after his passing. So I want to ask you, like, with such a legendary icon in the theater and everything, and doing a show like that and kind of honoring him in a way, because it's like the first show that's being done after his passing, what kind of honor is that for the actors on the stage?
I mean, I think that everyone in the company across the board would say that it is the highest honor.
Yeah.
And he is such a legend within our industry that, I mean, I can't think of a higher honor than getting to do this for him. And we actually, on Sunday after our show, were fortunate enough to have a little champagne toast with James Lapine, who gave a really beautiful, heartfelt speech about the production. And, you know, so and Sondheim was a part of the planning for this show at Encores before he passed last year, and was a part of, you know, the beginning of casting and stuff. So James Lapine said that in a lot of ways, he feels like Stephen was able to experience this show and that he knows that it is as being as well received as it has been.
Right.
So that was really special to hear.
Yeah, truly. And I feel like he said like many times that like Into the Woods is like his favorite, you know? And so like to know that like that's the one that's on right now on Broadway of his is like, it's so special, like truly. So it's so cool that you guys are doing it justice, you know, like y'all are doing it 8 shows a week. Y'all are putting in the work and yeah. doing it so beautifully, you know, truly. I want to talk to you because obviously none of this would be possible without the fans of the show. I mean, obviously with City Center, like it getting so huge there and the fans just responding so well to it. You have some hardcore fans. The stage doors are crazy every night. Yeah, like literally. So talk to me about the fans of the show and kind of being a part of a show with such a, I mean, for lack of a better term, cult following, you know, like it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the fans are absolutely incredible. And it's mm-hmm. funny because I kind of feel like I am a fan too. I just happen to also be in the show.
Sure.
But I think that, you know, this show has hits on so many different levels for people.
Sure.
And, you know, the filmed PBS original production was one of the first, you know, really widely accessible Broadway musicals for people that weren't perhaps able to see,
right.
go to New York and see the original production. And then with the Disney movie coming out and also, you know, it's their stories, it's based on fairy tales. And mm-hmm. I think there's a reason why those have been around for so long and
yes.
still resonate with people universally. It's because these messages that they convey still, they still resonate with people. And, but the fans have been, oh my gosh, so freaking great. We've gotten like, I've received so many cool, like, gifts and homemade things, and there's art that people are making. And it just feels like, so much support and community there.
Yes.
And the success of the show is completely thanks to the people that are coming out to support it and coming to the stage door and stuff. Even though the stage door is so chaotic and it's yes. absolutely terrifying. Because I like don't like crowds.
Yes. So
I get really anxious.
Right. But, and especially like at a time where like, yes, COVID is like kind of dying down a little bit, but like it's still a thing. And like if totally. You attract it, like, you know, you're out for the show for a couple of shows, you know, like that. It's, you don't want to do that because you love to perform. So like, it's crazy, but it's so cool that, you know, they just kind of want to cheer you on and they're okay with you all not signing and all the things. It's so fun.
Yeah. Truly. We're so, so grateful to them.
Yeah. I want to take it a step further and ask you about a fan in particular. Cause you mentioned the support and the artwork and everything. There's this fan, her name is Ashley Hufford or Hooford.
Yes.
Oh my God. And she literally, you have met? Oh my God, because yes. I wanted to ask. So for those of you who don't know, this fan has a crazy, incredible milky white tattoo on her arm. So in a way, you are a tattoo on someone's body, which is crazy. But like, what was your reaction to that? Like, how crazy was that?
I mean, it was so cool. One of our company managers, Rachel, while we were, I think we were still in rehearsal for the transfer, because Ashley had also seen it at Encores initially.
Right.
A TikTok of the process of her getting that tattoo. And I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, what? Oh my God, that's so cool. I like did a little like TikTok duet with Milky, like watching TikTok and approving of the tattoo. we followed each other on TikTok and then maybe on Instagram too, I forget. But anyway, she let me know when she was coming back to see the show. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I have to meet you in person. So we got, and it's always, like I said, it's always chaotic at the stage door. So it's hard to like get one-on-one time with people. We like met a little ways away and I didn't get a ton of time with her, but we got to say hi. And she said that she's coming back. So I told her to let me know when that is. But she's so sweet and makes great videos on TikTok. I highly recommend.
She does.
Following her.
Yes. Oh my God. It's so funny because that's how I also came across that tattoo in her. It was just incredible. I mean, it was like nothing I'd ever seen. I love that, like, you know, fans love something so much that they're like willing to just make it permanent on their body. It's incredible.
Totally.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've like toyed with the idea of, man, this is such a special experience for me. Should I like get a tattoo to like commemorate the show somehow? I don't know. I'm terrified.
You and Ashley are getting matching tattoos.
Yes.
Oh my God. That would be iconic. Well, I have to talk to you because it was just recently announced that, you know, you all are extending, which is so exciting. Congratulations on that, first of all.
Thank you.
Yes, of course. And then it also came out that there's going to be like some new cast members coming in. And then some of you, of course, are staying. Again, incredible stars. You have Stephanie J. Block and Andy Carl and Christo Rodriguez, all these fantastic people coming into the show. Like, how excited are you? I mean, it's always sad to see cast members go, but how excited are you to be able to play with some new stars, literally?
I'm thrilled. I mean, I will be so, so sad when people who are leaving go, because I love them all so much. But, you know, it's a wonderful silver lining that these all-stars, like just more all-stars coming into the fold. And I can't wait for them to get here. And I think that they actually, some of them are starting rehearsals this week. And I'm so excited to meet all of them and bring them in, because I really feel like our company has such a special energy and I really can't wait to bring them into that and just share in this crazy cool experience with them.
Totally. And it's cool the way that the show is crafted, that it could be a really big cast, but it's really not. Like, your cast is pretty intimate and everyone has their moment to shine and everything. So you can tell, like, just as an audience, like watching the show, how close you guys are and how much that you've been able to kind of play with each other and really understand the story that you're telling and the characters that you're playing and the relationships that each character has with the other character. It's really beautiful what you guys are putting out there every night. Seriously.
Thank you. It feels like a...
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Such a tight-knit family. And it's so funny because, like you know, Sarah Bareilles is a queen.
Yeah. And,
but working with her, she's so humble and down to earth and is just like another member of the cast. And yes. I like have these moments where like I forget. I'm like, oh, wait. You're Sarah Bareilles. Like, you're someone that I've been obsessed with for years.
Right.
Like, yeah. So it's just really special.
No, that's so real though, because I was a Sarah Bareilles fan when she like was doing her music thing and everything. But when Waitress came to Broadway, like that's like arguably my favorite Broadway show, and I'm obsessed with her. So her being the baker's wife was literally like they're bringing in stars, yes, but they're not stunt casting. You know, like Into the Woods is not stunt casting. They are picking people that really does the story justice, who can really perform, really like tell the story, and it's beautiful. Like it's not like they're just bringing in names to just be a name on stage. Exactly. You know. They did unbelievable work with the casting, and that literally goes through the entire cast. So kudos to the casting director because they did some incredible work. They deserve a raise. We all
yes.
do. But talk to me. So you also have done a couple other things here in New York. You've done a few off-Broadway shows. You did A Christmas Carol and Lolita, My Love, right?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Talk to me about those experiences. And I mean, in a way, like the off-Broadway is so similar to Broadway, yet so vastly different. So talk to me about your experience performing in those shows.
So actually, my very first professional job that I did with Anne Harada was Falsettoland off-Broadway at the Vineyard Theater.
Oh my God.
And I was 13.
Stop and it.
I played Jason and it was an all-Asian cast. And it was so, and that production was so, it has such a big place in my heart because I had only moved to this country like 2 years ish before prior.
Oh, wow.
And so this was my first real introduction to like professional theater in the country, let alone New York City. And the relationships that I built with these wonderful, generous performers is actually something that I am so thankful has persisted. And the director, Alan Muraoka, is someone that I am still close to. Actually, so Jason Ma, who was the lead of that show, is now also a prolific playwright. And so I was just in a show that he wrote called Gold Mountain at the Utah Shakespeare Festival.
Yes.
And so he had written it and I was in it and Alan was the director of it. So that was such a fun reunion. And then coming into the woods, like I said, and reuniting with Anne was so special. And then Jason started collaborating with Christine Toy Johnson, who was also in our production and is now, you know, she was isn't doing Come From Away. And two of them are collaborating on a new piece that I did a reading of in May. So it's like we're all still part of each other's lives. And it was such a great way of seeing that AAPI performers have a place in this industry in a way that, especially when I was 13, was not the case. And still, that's a long way to go, but that's another story. And also, just a gay love story as someone, you know, I was like about to come out myself and like wrestling with like sexuality and identity and seeing not only this beautiful love story between these gay characters, but also the people in the cast, like having like a gay director and gay actors, and seeing how like normal and wonderful they are, and seeing, oh, that's okay to be in this world. So I owe a lot to those people in that production, I think.
Oh, that's so beautiful. What? That's, yeah, I can't imagine. Like, no, it's truly, like, that's so cute. And it, how wonderful it must be for you to be here on Broadway with all these other fantastic people like Anne Harada and Christine Toy Johnson and all of them. But like, what does it mean to you to be a performer for younger AAPI audience members?
Oh my gosh. It's, if I think about it too much, I'll start crying, but it's,
oh my
so
God, I'm sorry.
No, it's great. It's a great question. And it's
okay.
So, like, I am so, so grateful for the opportunity that I've been afforded with this production and the representation across the board, the representation and diversity and inclusion that this company has is so powerful. And in terms of the AAPI community and representation, you know, I'm in the show. Brooke Ishibashi is in the show. And Harada was a part of it and is coming back. Plato Sido, who is Asian American, is a stage manager. Ciara Lai Burnett is a choreographer. And Delphi Boric, who's also half Japanese, is one of our like iconic understudies slash understudies,
yes,
who went on for Little Red. And, you know, she was the first, she's the first Asian American woman to play Little Red on Broadway. And like, I, like, incredible. The whole day I was just like sobbing in the wings.
Aww.
But it's really special. And people have come up to me and messaged me saying, like, thank you so much for the representation. I see myself in you and the other Asian American actors on stage, and being able to be a part of that representation is, I'm so grateful for, and just means the world to me.
Yeah. If you could be in a show on Broadway and take the representation like a step further, do you have like a show in mind that you would like, that's like a dream role for you to be there? Cause I wish I saw someone at a young age wanting to do theater.
That's a great question. I probably do, but I think that growing up and seeing shows, and like established, you know, golden age shows and stuff, I feel like,
sure,
we always fell into one of two veins. It was either like the Asian show, like The King and I, mm-hmm, or Miss Saigon, that is, you know, felt like pigeonholy and problematic for lots of different reasons. And
interesting.
And also being biracial was an added component to it. And it was always this weird, basically like a table of white people, like judging how Asian they feel like I am or am not, which is so invalidating. But, and then there are the shows that like, I never felt that I could be a part of, like, for, you know, 'cause it was all white people.
Right.
And so I think that, so with some shows like Into the Woods, where it doesn't matter what race you are, it's so powerful to, you know, have a diverse cast. But also, like, I'm so excited for new works, like A Strange Loop, and like the stories that are being told with like intentional representation.
Right.
And I just across the board, like, so excited to tell those stories. So I think that, like, I am most excited for something that has yet to be written.
Totally. Oh, my God. I love that answer. I also just love the fact of, like, the idea of like, originating a role on Broadway. You know, like, how cool would that process be?
That would be so cool.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, this has been wonderful. And honestly, like, if this season, this coming season, I guess we have to wait a whole year, though. If we don't see Into the Woods at the Tony Awards, I'm going to lose my everything for hopes of being PG. I'm going to lose it all, and I'm going to be very upset because I know it's a limited run and everything, but this show is literally, it's been like life-changing for a lot of people in such a short amount of time that you guys have been able to put this all together. And the learning about the process of it and learning about you as a performer and as an actor, it's just been, it's been so wonderful. And so I really appreciate you coming on today and telling us all these wonderful stories. Seriously, it's wonderful.
Well, I'm so, so grateful that you asked me. This has been an absolute blast.
Oh my God. Well, this is seriously, I'm so excited for everyone to listen to this, and I hope that you all enjoyed it. And for now, take a bow, Kennedy Kanagawa.
Yay.
Oh my God. Take a bow, Kennedy Kanagawa. Oh my goodness. Literally, I had such a joy talking to him about all the things, really. Into the Woods, of course, because I love learning about the journey of Into the Woods, because I'm now an Into the Woods fan. I will say, like, I came on here and was like, oh my God, it's amazing, but Act 2 wasn't needed. Like, I don't know. I still absolutely love the show and am a huge fan. And so to be able to talk about it this week with someone in the show and to talk about that incredible journey that we've all kind of witnessed, you know, just it going from City Center and then being this huge hit, now coming to Broadway and then extending, and now with the news of the new cast. So I had to bring him on, and I'm so happy that he's going to be staying in the show. He does some incredible work in the show, and I hope that, like, it kind of gave you a new appreciation to when you go see him in this show, when you go see his performance, because it is really special. And as a performer in the audience, like, I already said it, but to watch him is fascinating, and it's something that is not easy and cannot be done by just anyone. So the fact that he's like an actual like performer and a traditional performer, and he's kind of learned how to do this puppeteer work, is really special and really cool. So huge congratulations to Kennedy on making your Broadway debut. Thank you for coming on here to talk to me about Into the Woods and about how important it is for the AAPI representation. I know we've had a lot of talk about that for the BIPOC community and the Black performers community and everything, but we haven't really talked about that with the AAPI community lately. So it was wonderful to kind of revisit that conversation and talk about it a little bit more. So thank you so much for being so candid with me. I really had a wonderful time, and I hope that you all enjoyed this week's episode and were able to learn something, or maybe even kind of put a bug in your ear for the next time that you see Into the Woods on Broadway, or for the first time that you see Into the Woods on Broadway, and you kind of get to witness Kennedy's performance and how unbelievable it is and how special it is, and it cannot be done by everyone. It takes a very special performer. So huge shout out to Kennedy for coming on here today and doing what he does on a nightly basis. So in the beginning of the episode, I mentioned that Jonathan Groff is going to be possibly making his return to Broadway. Well, apparently those rumors are true. I recorded it before the announcement came out. I recorded it on Tuesday, and now I'm recording this on my phone after the news came out that Jonathan Groff is indeed, he's not coming back to Broadway. I thought Merrily We Roll Along is going to be coming to Broadway. It's actually off Broadway. And it was announced that Jonathan Groff and Lindsay Mendez will be joining Daniel Radcliffe off-Broadway in Merrily We Roll Along. I'm so excited about that. It's supposedly coming in this fall, later this year, but I do believe that it could be pushed back a little bit further, maybe into next year. But I am hearing that that is very much happening, and I could not be more excited about it. Everyone, that cast is going to be star-studded with those three alone. Very exciting stuff. I also saw news that Take Me Out is coming back to Broadway for a limited run. Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Jesse Williams will both be returning to the show, and that is poised to come back to Broadway this fall as well. So very exciting announcements coming out today for Broadway. They did come out yesterday on Wednesday when this releases on Thursday, and I didn't get to talk about it, so I wanted to come out here on the outro. I usually don't do Broadway news on the outro, but I needed to address it and make sure to let you all know the exciting news. And that's it for this week's Broadway news, for sure, for this week's episode.
That's all I have for you folks this week. So thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Take a Bow. We have a lot of exciting things coming. There are a lot of exciting things in the work, whether it's been with guests, whether it's been with content ideas, and some maybe live content opportunities. So I'm very excited. Stay tuned for all of it. I will say that social media has been seeing it all first. So if you're not following the Take a Bow podcast on Instagram or TikTok, you're missing out because we have some exciting content, especially on TikTok. So you'll definitely want to go check that out. And before I actually let you go, I want to say a huge congratulations and a huge shout out to Joe Serafini. He had a wonderful solo debut here in New York at the Green Room 42, where Take a Bow had its 100th episode live for the first time. It was so wonderful what he did this past weekend. It was so wonderful to see him again. It was so cool to see all of these wonderful High School Musical cast members like Julia Lester, Andrew Barth Feldman, and Frankie Rodriguez. Of course, Tim Federle was even there. So it was so cool to see all of them and to see their bond and their support for one another. It was really special, and Joe just killed it. And we actually have some videos from Joe's cabaret and Joe's performance, who plays Seb in High School Musical, the musical, the series. For those of you who don't know, he's a part of the Take a Bow family. He was literally the second guest we had on Take a Bow. So he's a dear friend of mine, and I was so excited to go support him and get to watch him perform again and see his family and everything. So you should go check that out if you weren't able to see his performance or be able to live stream it or whatever. We have a good chunk of his performances on our TikTok. So yeah, go check that out. And without further ado, I'll leave you with that. And I hope to see you all next week. Bye, everyone. Have a great week. For this episode's Curtain Call, I would like to recognize a few people who also deserve to take a bow. This podcast would not be possible without the help from Dory Berenstein, Brittany Bigelow, Katie Rosen, Alan Seals, and the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Next in line to take a bow is Tessie Tokash, who edits the audio and all the visuals for this podcast. A special thanks to patrons Brian Thompson, Pat McNamara, the listeners at PCC, as well as all of the other patrons for their continued support. If you're interested in becoming a patron, go to patreon.com/TAB. And if you enjoyed this week's episode, don't forget to subscribe on the platform that you're currently listening to this on. Also, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram at Take a Bow Podcast. Take a Bow's logo is designed by Giselle Bustos, and the music is by Nikki Torsha and Cormac Collinon. Bye, everyone. Hope to see you next week.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.